Hey, everybody, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast, and John and I are taking Memorial Day off to spend time with our families and do activities around our homes. And so I thought that rather than just not posting anything this week, I would do two things. I'm going to give you a quick update on where the new upcoming book stands right now. And then we're going to segue into our primer episode from last year, last summer, where we kind of went through and explained what the show is and who we are and all that kind of stuff. So you can hang around and hear about the book, which will be out in August of 2021. You can hang around and hear the primer. But if you've already heard the primer, then check out the book information and then we'll see you next Monday. So either way, you have something coming today. So first up, we've done 8 parts of the We Believed series, mini-series, which can be found on www.auwishbone.com. And John had the great idea that we should turn it into a book. And we decided that if we were going to make a book out of it, the last thing we wanted to do was just copy, you know, the audio over into written form. That doesn't give us anything new. But what it did by turning it into a book is it allowed us to talk to way more people, get more interviews, more anecdotes, more reminiscences, more cool stories, more observations. And then we've gone out and gotten all kinds of material from at the time, like newspaper reports and TV broadcasts and all that sort of thing. And so what this book has become is a comprehensive look, about as comprehensive as you're going to be able to get in a book that's not, 8,000 pages long, at basically the Pat Dye and Terry Bowden era. Now, you guys that have been following this the audio show, the podcast, know that it actually currently runs all the way through the Gene Chizik season of 2012 is the last episode that we did. And we've recorded a good chunk of the Gus Malzahn episode. We just haven't finished it out and produced it yet. So we actually have 8 episodes of the 10 that are currently available on www.auwishbone.com. But the book was just going to be too long. So we decided to split it in roughly in half. Volume 1, which will be out in August, covers from 1975 as Shug Jordan was retiring and Doug Barfield was coming in. We talk a little bit about the Barfield era, what went wrong, why things kind of played out the way they did. We even mentioned briefly the orange jerseys. And then we go from there into the hiring of Pat Dye. And the book runs all the way through Dye's entire 12-year career at Auburn and then transitions over in the final section to about a 40,000-word oral history with game descriptions, play-by-play, greatest moments of the Terry Bowden era. I think that what people will be most interested in is a book on the Pat Dye era, but I've got to say, don't sell that other part short, because what we've really done is pretty much compile about as comprehensive of a history of the Terry Bowden era, too, at Auburn, as you're likely to find. As I've been saying on Twitter and on our other shows, I can't imagine anybody else is going to come along anytime soon and go, I really want to write the definitive book on Terry Bowden at Auburn. So I think this is going to stand up for a while, at least, as pretty much that. But again, that's just sort of the icing on the cake. It's kind of like looking at the Terry Bowden era, looking at the highs and lows and what we should really remember from it for good and for bad. But I think that, again, that, 80% of the book, though, 70% of the book is those amazing 1980s, early 1990s years with Pat Dye, with Bo Jackson, with Tracy Rocker, with those great defenses and all of that. So, and the Sugar Bowls and the wins over Alabama and everything. So I'm really looking forward to getting this book out to you. I'm excited that we've got lots more people to talk to us and include stuff that we couldn't get on audio for the podcast, a year or two ago when we were putting them together, but we got more stuff written that we're putting in there in the book, a number of new contributors and lots of new commentary along the way, lots more game breakdowns, all that kind of stuff. So this is going to be even though it only covers half of our series, we'll have volume 2 out probably in the next year or so, but it's still going to be a very large, very comprehensive book. You're definitely going to get your money's worth with this. Don't you worry about that. For the patrons out there, if you are a patron of our show and we love you and appreciate you, I'm probably going to post the cover in the next few days, now that we're getting into June and the book comes out in August. So I figure, you know, a month or two advance so that the patrons get to see what it's going to look like and get a sense of what it's going to, how it's going to appear on the shelves and everything. And then maybe even give them an excerpt or two. So, oh, and that reminds me, you definitely want to be a patron at the beginning of August, because I've set aside a couple of pages at the beginning of the book, pretty early on in the book, where I'm going to list all the patrons who are listed on the Patreon website for us as of the beginning of August. So you basically will need to be there by August 1st as a patron, and then I'll go in a few days after that, and everybody that's on there, that's been on there since August 1st pretty much, your name will be featured prominently in the book. We've seen how, like, Lord of the Rings included all the members of the fan club and the credits. That's why the credits of Fellowship of the Ring are like 20 minutes long on the DVD, on the Blu-ray. But I thought that would be a good idea. I thought people would enjoy that. And so if you go ahead and get in around August 1st or before, I mean, we'd love to have you before then, of course, but if you get in there August 1st, you get your name included in Volume 1 of We Believed. And I don't think I've even said the name of the book. The book is called We Believed, A Lifetime in the Auburn Family, Volume 1, 1975 to 1998. And it will be available, certainly it'll be instantly available on Amazon, and it will be any bookstore that, you know, can carry it if they want to, or they can certainly order it if you ask them to. But Amazon will be the easiest way probably. And of course, I'm sure that the Auburn Bookstore in Haley Center, they like to carry our stuff, and they like to have us in to do book signings in the fall. So we'll probably be doing that. And then we also would anticipate having it available through, well, for example, Dragon Con. I'll be at Dragon Con Labor Day weekend of this year, 2021, as I always am. And I'll have a bunch of copies at my table. I'll be happy to sign them for you. So that would be awesome. So that's We Believed, A Lifetime in the Auburn Family, Volume 1, 1975-1998. We will make sure everybody knows when it comes out, but it'll be out probably the middle of August. All right. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead now and just segue into the AU Wishbone Primer. This is an episode that John and I produced last summer that is meant as kind of an introduction to our show, to Auburn football, to what we do on our show. So if you're a new listener, welcome. We are so glad to have you. Hang around and you'll learn, kind of get the ropes of what we're doing here and what this crazy business is all about. And if you'd like to become a patron and get your name in the book and all that, just go to www.auwishbone.com. That's www.auwishbone.com. Now, I think I'm probably going to read the patrons' names at some point in this episode, but they will be the names from last summer. So my apologies if you are a current patron and don't get mentioned here. But this is just a one-off because John and I are not doing a new show this week. We will be back Tuesday, June 8th will be the next show. And we will be happy to take your listener questions, send them in, and looking forward to it. So, War Eagle, everybody, now enjoy the primer, and we'll see you guys in a week.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn! Hello
and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we have a very special episode of the AU Wishbone tonight. I thought, and you've thought over the years, we've discussed this back and forth many times and thought about when we would just get around to doing it, doing a sort of a primer episode, an episode that would kind of explain both Auburn to people that maybe don't know and want to learn more about it. And so you can refer this episode to your friends and folks you know that want to know more about Auburn and Auburn football and Auburn fandom. And also a kind of an introduction to our show, so that when this episode is over, it will go out as normal to the, you know, to the usual locations like Spotify and iTunes and everything, and Podbean and so forth. But it will also, I will post it on the auwishbone.com page alongside our We Believe series, so that people will always know where they can easily access it and find it and play it. And hopefully, when our next hour or so is up, it will have been worth doing that for, right? Hopefully, we will hopefully we will make this a worthwhile. How would you describe what we're about here?
I like primer, an introduction to Auburn and Auburn football, and an introduction to this podcast. And I think even if you've been listening for a while to the podcast, that part will be educational for you in terms of how did we get here? You know, why do we do some things the way we do? What some of the inside jokes and the way we operate there?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the first order of business is to let the folks know that we do have something to celebrate today, which is...
Smoke weed every day.
No, no, no. It's that the soundboard works. It lives. There was a rumor going around, started by me, that it wasn't working the last few days, and that was because it wasn't working the last few days, but...
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Because now it's working.
Please clap.
And I think that, you know, if you want to assess blame for it messed up...
Blame yourself.
Because this is...
And I say you!
So, in fact, when I got it to work, I immediately said... And John replied,
"Oh my God!"
So that's where we stand right now. So I think that people that are listening to this to learn about our show just learned a whole lot about our show. They just learned more than they probably wanted to know about our show just now. So, yes. So, which is that we have a thing called the soundboard, and it has lots of sound effects on it that I add from time to time. And John hates it, and there is the soundboard fan club. So we'll get to all that. We'll get to all that. So where should we start as we try to be concise and move things along here? And I'll stop dilly-dallying. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we should start simple. We should start with, you know, what is Auburn University and where did it come from?
Okay. That's cool.
So I'll start and kind of run, and then you pick it up and run with it.
Okay.
Auburn University is a four-year university in East Central Alabama, in the town of Auburn. It is, you know, an older college university in terms of the United States, at least. It was founded in 1856 and has had multiple names over the years. It was, you know, for a while it was the Alabama Polytechnical Institute and that kind of stuff. And
API, baby.
Auburn is actually the name of the town, and eventually the university, you know, took that name. Because people always referred to it as the school in Auburn. So it's a land grant institution, which means that there was a series of acts in Congress to encourage colleges to establish these schools. This was in the late 1800s. And the idea was for the colleges to establish schools to encourage agriculture and engineering and technical skills. And so Auburn was one of those universities. It's a land grant school, which means it's focused on agriculture and engineering in the beginning. And now it has many majors and many focuses, and it's, you know, an excellent academic reputation in many areas,
sure,
including engineering and fisheries and veterinary school and many other things. So, you know, it's an excellent university with a wide array of programs, and it has about 24,000 undergrad and, you know, another 5,000 grad students enrollment. It's not a system, you know. There is a university called Auburn University of Montgomery, but that's kind of a separate school. Auburn is kind of a one university place. There's some other universities with, you know, like that are systems, but Auburn is not.
I always say, as far as the land grant schools go, I always say that if you want to go, if you want to learn ballet or how to be a lawyer, go to Alabama. And if you want to learn how to be an engineer and fly the space shuttle or something like that, you go to Auburn, right? So that's fair.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's the simple version of Auburn. Mm-hmm. But one of the big issues that always comes up is the confusion about the nicknames and the mascots. So why don't you take this part?
Well, we are burnt orange and navy blue are our colors. Those very specific shades. We are not like Florida orange and blue. We are burnt orange and navy blue. And I always liked, by the way, East Alabama Male College, because if you see it written down, it's M-A-L-E, like it was a men's school. But it sounds out loud like you learn how to be a postman. East Alabama Male College, so, you know. But yes, Auburn's nickname. A lot of what comes, you know, the stuff around our the mythology around the nickname and all that comes from Oliver Goldsmith's poem "The Deserted Village." And so the name, you know, the nickname is the Tigers, and our mascot in a costume, quote unquote, he's actually a real being, but we don't, you know, we have to keep that secret, is Aubie, who is a tiger. But we also have this thing, and that comes from Sweet Auburn. And by the way, the avenue in Atlanta called Sweet Auburn Avenue also comes from the same poem, Sweet Auburn. And when they say loveliest village on the plains, or plainsman, that's the next line, Sweet Auburn, loveliest village on the plains, where crouching tigers await their hapless prey. So all of that comes from like one sentence in that poem. It's really amazing. You know, loveliest village on the plains, Sweet Auburn, and tigers. It all comes from that line. And so the nickname is the Tigers, but we have this whole other thing where we say War Eagle. And over the years, the reason why that nickname exists has taken on about as many permutations as there are justifications for Alabama having 75 national championships. It's one of those things that, you know, there's like a mythology to it, but who can say what's true and what's false? We'll probably never know. You know, there's the story of a Confederate soldier who brought an eagle back from the battlefield and it got loose and flew around the first game against Georgia in Piedmont Park in 1892 and they yelled War Eagle. That always seemed a little too pat to me. I think it's a great story. I'm glad it's the one they kind of go with now. Do I believe it's true? I think it's more like one of Jesus's parables, you know. It's a story to teach a lesson, but I'm not sure it's necessarily 100% gospel, you know. I think it's probably a little more convoluted than that. But anyway, that's the idea, is that War Eagle is the battle cry. It's something that we say. And by, you know, by the way, people say, well, are you the Tigers or the War Eagles? And the correct answer to that is it's none of your beep business. but also, I mean, the answer among friends is we're the Tigers and we say War Eagle, which is not that unusual because Alabama is the has elephants and yet they say RT, right? They're the Crimson Tide, yet they have an elephant. I don't know what an elephant has to do with the tide. You know, Georgia Tech are the Ramblin' Wreck, the Engineers, and the Yellow Jackets, for crying out loud. So there are others that do this. It's just that we get all the flack for it and I've never understood it. So let's see, where do we want to go next?
So what does it mean? And this is one of the key elements of our show, but I think it's important for this discussion. What does it mean to be an Auburn fan compared to being a fan of other teams?
Yeah, we're currently doing a 10-part miniseries on that question, right? Called We Believed. And if you're listening to this and you don't know about it, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and where you'll also find this show, this episode, and you'll find like how many ever we've done. I think we've done 8 so far, where we try to kind of answer that in terms of the action on the field and with the coaches and everything. But I don't know. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute because that's a really deep question. What does it mean to be an Auburn fan compared to being a fan of the teams? I mean, I think it means you have to learn to be realistic and optimistic at the same time. How do you respond to that?
I buy that. I'd agree with that. I think being an Auburn fan means that you're choosing it because you want to be an Auburn fan. It's not a front runner choice.
No.
And
it's not Vanderbilt, but it's also not Alabama or, you know, USC or Oklahoma. I mean, it's
that's right.
you're picking, you know, you're picking the like the number 13 or number 12 most successful program of all time. So hopefully you have other reasons like a loved one or you moved into the state and you find the Alabama fans obnoxious, in which case we agree. You know, there are lots of reasons to become an Auburn person, or you just go to school there, whatever. You know, or you just think it's cool. You think the colors and the uniform look good.
Or you just like the community of people because they're friendly, good people.
Yes, and we are, absolutely. So, yeah, you have to be kind of, we are always optimistic. We always believe things are going to get better. We're not fatalistic and down about our, well, we have been about our basketball program from time to time, but not anymore, right? Not anymore.
Nope.
But about the football team, we tend to always think, well, you know, things didn't go great this year, but man, we just get one or two things fixed and it'll all be great again. And so we've had, I would argue this, I would say we've had just enough big moments in the last, you know, 40 years to keep our hopes up. You know, if we went 10 years at 4-8, we would be like, kind of like in the 70s with, you know, Barfield and everything, the end of Shug and Barfield. But we've had enough, you know, 10-3 or 11-1, 11-2 or 13-0, you know, or whatever, or losing in the national championship game or winning in that. We've had just enough of those years that when we have an 8-4 type year, we're like, okay, we'll fix this next year. And we have, like, God help us, a 3-9 year. We're like, we're going to fix this sucker and we'll be back soon, you know. So that's what I mean by we're realistic about it. We know we're not going to be, you know, one of the top five programs every year in the playoffs every year. But on the other hand, unless, you know, lightning strikes and we get the equivalent of a Dabo Swinney type deal. But on the other hand, we feel like there's always room to improve and that there's always the chance that another one of those big years is there. How do you describe that? If somebody were to ask you, are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? How do you describe that mindset as it is today?
I think it is an optimistic, but it's you have to be prepared for the roller coaster a little bit.
Oh, God, yes.
Being an Auburn fan is you're getting on the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn is not a team that plugs along and gets the same number of wins every year.
No.
You know, there's years when we're good, there's years when we're good, there's years when we're terrible, and there's years when we're awesome and it's so fun. And so you have to endure kind of the other years to be there for the awesome years, and it's so worth it.
And the weird thing is, it's hard to predict them. Like,
that's right.
You know, 2010, we kind of knew it was going to be better than average. But 2013, nobody thought we'd be in the national championship game, that Nick Marshall and Trey Mason would be so great. You know, 2004, we'd had almost exact same team the year before and not scored a touchdown in 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, we're undefeated. With just microscopic changes, you know. So our good seasons seem to come out of nowhere when just everything clicks and we get that one player or that one assistant coach or something. And our bad seasons kind of come out of nowhere when things click the other way and it kind of gets rotten a little bit inside, you know. But it's so hard to predict that it's like not only riding the roller coaster, it's like riding the roller coaster with a blindfold on.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. And I mean, probably more so than any other team, I think. I can't think of many programs that do what we do like that. And I think that kind of endears the program. That's part of what gives us that optimism, is knowing that this could be the year the roller coaster goes way up. And you never know, you know? So we're in a way, Auburn fans are kind of gluttons for punishment, because we'll take those 3-9 years, we'll take those 6-7-5 years, and we'll come back. We'll come back and say, give me another helping, because this might be, you know, 2013. This might be 2010. Yep. This might be 2004. You just don't know. You just don't know.
You're right.
And we recruit. This is the thing I've always found was the most interesting about it all. We recruit in football at just the right level that there's always a chance, but it's never just reloaded every position, right? It's like we're just a step below just being able to reload like an Alabama or Clemson has been doing lately. We're at that point where we can reload like 80% at about the same level, and then you're like, well, Cam's gone, or Nick Fairley's gone, or Derek Brown is gone. We're just not going to be able to reload that anytime soon. You know, that's just, you know what I mean? We're, mm-hmm. It seems like we get our share of 5-star A+ players, but we never have such a stock of them that there's not the down years in between. And then we're like, oh, we got another one. Now we're going to go back up again. And then they're gone. And then we got another one. And that's, I think that's part of the roller coaster.
I think that makes sense. And I think it's one of the fun things about college football is that the rosters and the players do change, and it's always kind of new in that sense.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to point out about being an Auburn fan is that by choosing to be an Auburn fan, you're inheriting rivals.
Oh, boy.
It's not just that you're, you know, when you sign on to be an Auburn fan, you need to be aware of this and prepared for this because you're walking into, you know, other people giving you crud about being an Auburn fan.
Yes. Yeah, so, let's just lay this on the line. Auburn has always played the best teams in the conference, more or less, depending on the era.
Yes.
We don't find ways to cleverly make Vanderbilt our main rival or anything. We go up against the best of the West, and obviously, and we go up against the best of the East. I mean, honestly, if we had our way, the three best teams in the East would be our permanent opponents in addition to the West. You know, we might jettison a team or two from the West. The historically three best. I mean, not necessarily right now, but you know what I mean. The Florida, Georgia, Tennessees, we would like to play them every year if we had our way.
Yeah, that's good. You're right. And so you made a key point there, which is Auburn always has a very hard schedule. There's a degree of difficulty factor in this, and so that's part of how it is. We've always played very tough schedules,
and
conference and non-conference.
And one other thing, we're kind of the Van Helsings of college football because we are there, in addition to everything else that we do for ourselves, try to win, try to have good seasons, and try to enjoy being, you know, Auburn, being a major, you know, we are very fortunate. We are, as they say, blessed. We are a major football program in the hardest division of the best conference. It's hard to get worse. It's hard to get better than that, right? I mean, we are where we are, and you have to be really good to survive there. It's very easy to go into that division and turn into what Arkansas is currently in 2019-20.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to be at the top of your game just to keep your head above water where we play our football. But I was saying, we, in addition to all that, we are the Van Helsing of college football because we're the ones with the mission to go after the Dracula of college football, our great adversary. We are out there fighting every day and every night to defend civilization, to defend the world from the scourge of college football, the worst fans imaginable, the University of Alabama. That is our special job, right? Other, you know, Georgia's job is to beat Georgia and to beat Georgia Tech occasionally and Florida, whatever. You know, other programs have a job in life. It's not that hard. Our job is arguably the hardest in college football because we were bestowed by the good Lord above with the special responsibility of keeping in check the worst bunch in the history of college football.
Well said.
It's a heavy burden that we carry. We have to keep our wooden stakes and our garlic and our holy water ready at all times. And they're everywhere. You know, you can't go anywhere in the country and be free of them. I live in, you know, we haven't said where we live yet. We'll talk about us in a minute. But I live near St. Louis in Illinois. I can't go to IKEA. I went to IKEA last Sunday. Alabama fans. IKEA in St. Louis. Alabama fans. And, of course, if they're there, you know they're flying the colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows who they are. So, like that monkey on the little meme that you tweeted. They got the shirt, and they're diving out the window, waving it around. That was great.
That's it.
In their charger. Okay, what do we need to do next?
So let's talk about football.
Let's do it.
We kind of started from the university. We talked about our rivals, but let's get into it. So Auburn plays as a member of the Southeastern Conference, and so I want to take a second to talk about the structure of college football. If you're not familiar with it, college football is basically divided into Division One and lower divisions.
Mm-hmm.
There's Division One, which are the big schools, you know, the Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Southern Cal, Washington, Ohio State, those kind of schools, right? But also like Central Florida, Houston, those kind of schools too. There's a level below that used to be in the old days called 1AA, and is now called FCS, or the Football Championship Series.
So dumb.
And that is the 1AA teams, the Furman, James Madison, North Dakota, SIU, all those kind of schools are the 1AA teams. And so they play, you know, just below what's the FBS, which is, you know, the 1A Power 5 level that we Auburn plays at.
Right.
And so in the level that Auburn plays at, there are the Power 5 schools and the non-Power 5 schools. And so the Power 5 refers to the Big 5 conferences, the SEC, the Big 10, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC. And those make up the big school conferences. There's some smaller school conferences in there, that, and we play some of those conferences. But all, basically, Auburn plays teams from the SEC, and the SEC currently requires an 8-game schedule. So Auburn plays 8 conference games and then plays 4 games against non-conference teams. So these normally some of these smaller schools and maybe one big school from another conference. And then the 5 big conferences get together and organize this playoff at the end of the regular season where the top 4 teams go. Mm-hmm. So, but Auburn is a member of the Southeastern Conference and has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the membership and structure of that has changed a little bit over the years. You know, for a long time, you played fewer games in college football and fewer conference games. Now we play 8 conference games out of 12 total games. And the SEC as a whole has 14 teams divided into 2 7-team divisions. So you play 6 games against the other teams in your division, and you have 1 permanent opponent from the other division, and our permanent opponent is Georgia, and then 1 rotating opponent from the other division. Out of the other 6 teams in the division, you have 1 rotating opponent. This is a constant source of angst for us on this podcast because we want to play those teams more. And so you end up with 6 teams home and away. That's a 12-year cycle.
Yeah, so. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Missouri famously played in Auburn played at Missouri in 2016 or 17, and they won't be back again for 12 years, in which time we will have probably played Clemson 5 more times or not even in the SEC. So this is a constant source of aggravation, absolutely.
And again, the SEC has been around a long time. You know, I still think of Arkansas, South Carolina's new team.
Yeah, they are new, new guys.
You know, they joined in 92.
Yep.
Right?
John, this always makes me think of, you know, in Paris on the Ile de la Cité, where the Notre Dame Cathedral is, there's all these bridges, right? But there's one of them is called the New Bridge, and it was built in like the 1200s.
That's right.
That's us. South Carolina and Arkansas are the New Bridge.
We're the Parisians who look at that and go, that's the New Bridge.
That's the New Bridge.
Before Arkansas and Carolina joined, the SEC didn't have divisions. They, you know, there was no championship game. So now when Arkansas and Carolina joined in 92, they split into 2 divisions, East and West, and Auburn got put in the West, which just led to some of the scheduling angst.
Yeah.
And so then Missouri and Texas A&M joined. And now there are 7 teams in each division, and one of the reasons they did the division thing was to create a conference championship game that's played every year now in Atlanta at the end of the season by the winners of each division to determine the conference champion. And the reason the SEC does that is because basically the NCAA created a rule that allowed it, and that game generates an enormous amount of money.
Right. And the reason that that we're in the West and not in the, you know, in an ideal world, Auburn would be in the East where we could play Tennessee and Florida and Georgia every year like we used to, because we used to play them every year. And then our Western out-of-division opponent would be Alabama. But the problem with that is Tennessee would also be in the East, and Alabama would have to choose between Auburn or Tennessee as their permanent opponent in the East. And they make a big deal out of playing Tennessee every year, and they like to hold out this fiction. They like to hold out this fiction, see, that Tennessee is somehow a bigger rival to them than Auburn. And I just want to
dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Yeah, because we know Auburn is their bigger rival than Tennessee, and they would have to admit that. And they don't want to admit it, and so they'd rather us both be in the West. That's why that is.
That's right.
So, let's see. What about our history?
So, again, Auburn's, as we've said in the beginning and in some of the earlier discussion, Auburn's had a very roller coaster up and down history, but we wanted to we only had, people's listening to this podcast lifetimes, two national championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
1957 and 2010.
Those are the consensus ones. Then they're the ones that are debatable.
There's some other ones that we should claim and could claim, but we do not.
Because we're dumb.
And so, we've in the one of the things we wanted to talk about is kind of some memorable people, memorable moments, and then kind of some recent history. So why don't you do the people?
Well, we've got our three Heisman Trophy winners I'll mention real quick. We have 1971 Pat Sullivan, great quarterback for Shug Jordan's team, and Lorindo is his offensive coordinator that your dad wrote a book about. And then, he was a great passer and then went on to be a great college football coach, offensive coordinator, and head coach. And then in 1985, Bo Jackson is just like the greatest athlete of all time, pretty much universally recognized. He was a running back in the wishbone and the I formation for us from 1982 through 85 and won the Heisman Trophy his senior year and is our, I guess, still our all-time leading rusher. Could just rip off, an 80-yard run at any moment. He was so powerful and so fast at the same time. He had that Herschel Walker did not have, which makes him a superior back to Herschel Walker. Herschel was like power and speed, but Bo was power, speed, and grace. He had an extra thing that I don't think Herschel had. Our third Heisman Trophy winner in 2010 was Cameron Newton, who was a transfer in from Florida by way of Texas, smaller Blinn College in Texas. And of course, Cam came in and was just like the greatest quarterback probably in Auburn history in terms of being able to score points and get first downs. I think that maybe Pat Sullivan was a more accomplished pure passer, but Cam could do everything, to some degree of excellence. And he was a third down to first down machine, unstoppable. And we won the national championship in the 2010 season with him. In terms of our coaches, I think that the two always that'll jump out are Shug Jordan, who was coached for 25 years from the 1950s to the 1970s and won the 57 national championship and kind of came close a couple of other times. And then in 1981, we brought in Pat Dye, who had been one of Bear Bryant's assistants and had gone off to be coaching at East Carolina and Wyoming. And Dye was kind of old, hard-nosed, hard-scrabble, tough, kid from – he'd been a kid in rural Georgia and had gone to the University of Georgia and had a hard-nosed approach to football and kind of, made men out of them. We're going to go out there nose-to-nose and knock each other in the mouth and see who gets up, that kind of approach. And that was a very effective thing that we needed to kind of put a foundation under Auburn. And then I guess, the coaches since then, Dye was followed by Terry Bowden, who – he had his high moments and his low moments. And then Tommy Tuberville, the current political figure, who was a very effective Auburn coach for the better part of his 10-year reign, I would say. And now we've had Gene Chizik, who was there just for 4 years, and we won the national championship, but then kind of the wheels fell off very quickly. And we replaced him with the offensive coordinator from that 2010 team, Gus Malzahn, who is our current coach and has had, I would say, an uneven tenure the last, 7 years? But never, the lows have never been so low that we've absolutely felt we had to do something about him. In other words, Chizik went 14-0 and was just the man, and then we turned around and went 3-9 and he had to go. The worst we've gone under, we've never had a losing season under Gus. The worst we've gone is 7-5. But we also haven't, we've had a hard time winning more than 9 or 10 games too. So those, I guess, are the people. Did I leave anybody out that you want to mention?
No, it's just good. I mean, the only thing I would say about Bo is that you said the greatest athlete ever, not just a running back, but
right.
He was the first player picked in the draft in the NFL, but also went and played and signed a Major League Baseball deal, played Major League Baseball and Major League Football. And had a injury that ended his career early in professional football. Otherwise, I think he could have gone on really excelling at both of those
and
things.
He was the MVP of the All-Star game of both sports, wasn't he? Or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just astonishing. Astonishing, yeah. Okay, you had a note here about memorable moments, and I guess I'm going to throw in just a couple if we kind of want to go back. We could really actually kind of start with 1972 Punt Bama Punt, where Alabama was – up like 16-0 in the fourth quarter, and we blocked two punts and kicked a field goal and came back and won 17-16. And that's a famous one. And then you kind of go forward to all the great wins under Dye, but I think none were more memorable than 1989. How would you describe 1989?
Well, again, Auburn and Alabama are in the same state, but until 1989, Alabama had never played a football game on Auburn's campus.
Right.
For a long time, the series was played on a neutral site. I'm doing my quotation fingers in Birmingham.
Yeah, quote unquote neutral.
We always describe it as neutral, where the ushers were all wearing Alabama hats.
And there's a statue of Bear Bryant outside the stadium. Yeah. And, that's neutral. Sure.
It is neutral. So Auburn wanted to, and Alabama played multiple home games a year at that stadium, but it was neutral. Eventually Auburn got, built up its own stadium, which is named after Jordan Hare.
Yeah, Cliff Hare and
Coach Jordan. And it's now Pat Dye Field at Jordan Hare. Yep. They moved the game to Auburn in 1989. Alabama fans said it would never happen, and eventually it happened. And so that day in 1989 was a huge deal because
yes.
Alabama came to the campus for the first time, and Van and I were there as students, and Auburn won the game in a truly emotional, stirring moment. And we have a whole podcast about that, but that was a big moment. And then
we knew it. You know what I mean? I want to say we were there. We were students, and we knew that whole summer and fall as it was approaching. We were well aware that we were there for history. You know what I mean? We knew that there would be decades later we would still be talking about that, and we are.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. We knew that that game was going to mean something, and it was going to matter a long time.
Everybody knew it. Everybody was so wired up for it. It was incredible.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it before since.
And one of the great things about college football was true that day, and that's that the crowd can carry the team. Many times the team makes a big play and the crowd responds and all that. But that day, the energy of the crowd carried the team.
Yep.
Just a couple of other things that we want to point out, and most of our fans are probably very familiar with these things. But again, in 2010, Cam Newton came in. Chizik was the head coach, and Auburn won the national championship. We beat Oregon in the national championship game in the Fiesta Bowl. Mm-hmm. They had an amazing comeback that year against Alabama to beat them. And
incredible other games, like the Arkansas and the LSU games, were just mind-blowing games.
Those games were incredibly fun to watch and nail-biters and thrilling and really an enjoyable fan experience.
I believe listen to episode 8 of We Believed, and you get like 2.5 hours of John and me just going through the Chizik era, but especially 2010, and we've got clips and interviews and all kind of stuff in that episode from that season.
And then, and then things fell apart, as you said, and Chizik left, and in 2012, we were terrible, and they fired Chizik, and so they brought in Gus Malzahn in 2013. In his first year, Auburn lost one game, won the SEC, went to the national championship game, led the national championship game against the heavily favored Florida State Seminoles, and lost on a last-second touchdown pass.
Yep.
Kevin Mitchell.
Even halfway through that season, we didn't dream we'd be playing the national championship game. That one really – with Cam in 2010, you felt like we were building and building and getting better, and you never knew what could happen, And I ordered my tickets to the national championship game after the LSU game, which was like 60% of the way through the season. But with 2013, I didn't even fully believe we had a chance to get to the national championship game until they said Auburn is in the national championship game.
Well, it took a lot.
Yes.
Including, and the memorable moments thing is obviously the kick six is the memorable moment.
Absolutely.
The play where we came back and beat Alabama to win. And it took that play plus Michigan State pulling an upset for Auburn to get to the national championship.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that was a great episode too. Okay, so I guess we should take a breath here and this is another thing that we do for those of you listening for this. I'm trying to explain everything for first timers. Again, we want this episode to be something that those of you that this is all not news to, just use this to refer the folks that you think might enjoy our show. Right? Tell them, yeah, listen to that primer episode, and they kind of explain everything. And in our second part here coming up in just a minute, we're going to kind of go through what makes what our show is about and what how this show is different and what makes it what it is. But we don't have ads. We don't have, you know, we don't try to sell you any kind of products or any kind of website or anything, other than we just ask for you to support us for as little as a dollar a month to keep our program on the air through Patreon.com. And so if you go to www.auwishbone.com, there's a great big link that says become a patron, and you just click on that, it'll take you through. You can sign up. It's quick and easy. You sign up and you join the ranks of the fine AU Wishbone family that helps us and supports us and keeps us going. And there are a variety of benefits you get, although they've been scarcer this year just because there hasn't been a lot going on, you know. We didn't have a basketball tournament, so we couldn't do our basketball tournament pick'em type thing, our brackets and all, just as one example. Hopefully we'll be getting back to that soon. And I also, one of the other benefits is I call out the name of all of our supporters every episode. So here are the fine folks who keep our shows going, and we appreciate you all more than we can ever say. That would include Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson, Phil Amthor, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, William Morgan, Gary Grant, Brian Gray, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Steve Trawick, Logan Chilton, Tom Anderson, Richard Stevens, Connor Davis, James Greenwell. It doesn't always show me on this new format the name, and I'm like, oh, James is new, and I can only see James Green. And I know his name isn't James Green. I had to dig around here, and there it is, James Greenwell. Of course, thank you, James. James, we appreciate you. Welcome aboard as one of our newer sponsors. Emmanuel Seaman, WDE Richie, Phil Davis and John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Kevin Smith, Winston Boddy, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, David Hegler, Mickey B, Shane Bailey, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Ann Kanjian, Clay Henson, George Gaston. By the way, there's another story, is that we met Ann at one of the games we went to. We do occasional remote shows once a year or so, and she showed me how to actually do a better job, though I'm still not perfect, a better job at pronouncing her name. Clay Henson, George Gaston, Catherine England, John McCune, David Evers, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Rich Reimer, Timothy, Chris Hilton, Eric Mahan, Sarah Hines, Darius Benton, and Blake Heron. And then we have Kevin Mahan, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Kevin Kenoy, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Hugh Anderson, Rob Morgan, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal. And by the way, some of you guys have been with us for quite a while, and we super, super appreciate you hanging in there. Hopefully we continue to deliver value. Josh Teal, David Simpson, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, Russell Milling, Chris Thrash, Earl Ricks, Spanky Chris, Jason Albrick, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Eilif, Matthew Flowers, Auburn Elvis, thank you very much, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Trevor Johnson, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, we're getting close to the end, everybody, John Zavachin, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Patrick Williams, James Taylor, Brent Rumble, Justin Bean, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Mick Vigicana, Joey Miller, and Mark Squire, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Join their ranks, everybody. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, we do not have listener questions. We're not doing that. We do not have a fact of the week, nor a lock of the week, but...
And I say you!
We're going to talk about the AU Wishbone podcast itself. So, John, take it away. What do we want to hit on first?
So, let's start with a simple question. Why do we do this podcast?
That's a darn fine question. Drive carefully every night. Good night, everybody. Goodbye. You have said it many times. I think you summed it up the best. You say that you and I have always talked. We've always been friends since we met at Auburn, like sophomore year or something. And we've always, you know, hung out when we could and talked and emailed and whatever when we couldn't, just forever. And so when we started doing this show, it's like you always say, we would be having these conversations anyway, just maybe not with the soundboard. I think we found the flaw. I think we found where it all went wrong for you, John, is if we were just having this over the phone or over Zoom, we wouldn't have the soundboard. But otherwise, we'd be having these conversations anyway, and we had this crazy notion that maybe other people might like to be part of it, might like to listen, might like to interact and send in questions and be part of the family and get to play our, you know, our brackets and our fantasy leagues and stuff. And so I think that's why we do it. What would you add? I mean, that's your answer. What would you add to that, if anything?
Well, we always had these conversations, but then we started writing
Auburn stuff.
And so the history of us writing Auburn stuff, and we've talked about this a couple of times, goes back to, mm-hmm. you know, that there was a two Dave's
pick the SEC.
Two Dave's pick the SEC email mm-hmm. newsletter
mm-hmm.
that we, you know, guest wrote stuff for occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big deal. You had to get picked to do that. And so we had fun with that, and that's where we'll talk about some of the other things. But that was back when Kentucky was terrible. They always used to refer to them as Sucky Kentucky and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And then you know, later we ended up writing for the War Eagle Reader,
mm-hmm.
and we wrote for columns for a few years, kind of a weekly game preview column, and we had a lot of fun with that. And we did. And there's some. If you go back on the War Eagle Reader, look at some old stuff. There's some really good stuff. We did one season preview of Game of Thrones themes. It's really good. Van did a great job with Photoshop of SEC logos and Game of Thrones characters. It's really well done. And
those were fun, but they were so time consuming. There's just no way we could keep that up on a regular basis.
You know, Van and I were working day jobs and raising families and doing, you know, other stuff on the side and writing these columns every yeah. week, and it was a lot.
It was tough.
And so then at some point we stopped doing the columns and just kept doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the right move. We have written a few books.
Yep.
And working on another one.
Yep.
But I think the reason that we do the podcast is because we want to talk about Auburn sports, especially football, and react to it and, you know, vent about it and, you know, laugh about it and cry about it together. And sometimes when Auburn suffers a terrible defeat, this show is a therapeutic device. But other times it is, you know, a way for us to all share the joy together. I think if you're ever having a really bad time, you should go back and listen to the 2013 post kick six episode again.
Oh yeah.
Because it is glorious.
One of my favorite comments, I do Dragon Con every year. This was going to be like my 22nd or 23rd year. I had to do the math of Dragon Con where I'm a guest, you know, because I'm a writer of science fiction stuff as well as football stuff. That's the two things I do. Although my sister thinks I do football stuff, and I think he did something else too, but he writes football books. But living in Alabama, but I, you know, so I get to be a guest there and do panels and stuff, and it's awesome. And I do book signing and book reading, where you know people come fill up the room, and I like perform for an hour stuff from my whatever I've written that year. And I always take some Auburn stuff that we've written in there because I know that a lot of the people that come to that are Auburn people that come just because they know me through Twitter and through the show. And, you know, a couple of years ago, this young lady came up and she said, I keep the 2013 Iron Bowl show on like instant, you know, like auto dial or whatever, you know, the equivalent of that on your phone or whatever. So whenever I'm down and depressed in my car or whatever, I just play that episode. And I said, you know, that's just the coolest thing I've ever heard. That makes me really happy that we've done something that, you know, because like you say, I think that our columns and they weren't just written columns, but there were, like you said, there were visuals to it and all too. And for the War Eagle Reader, those have lasting significance in some cases. Some of them were just, you know, throwaway for that week, but some of them I think were kind of like they endure. And I think some of our episodes are like that. Some of our episodes are just, here's what's going on this week in the news, and we'll talk about it for 45 minutes. But other episodes I think kind of resonate, and I'm glad that people appreciate that and like it. It meant a lot to me to hear that, you know, face to face. So that was cool.
So, again, I think we don't do this for personal enrichment. We're not trying to build a podcast empire or anything like that. We do the Patreon thing because it costs money to operate a podcast at some point. But really, we do this because we love talking about sports and we enjoy talking to each other about it, and we think other people enjoy this. And we enjoy interacting with people, you know, answering your questions and that piece. And so, what should a listener expect from this show, from the experience of being a listener to the show? What should they expect? What would you tell them?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think, and that gets into what makes our show different. And I wanted to address that at some point. This seems like as good of a point as any as part of that question. There are a lot of Auburn podcasts that are reporters, and they're like, here's what's in the news this week. Here's what my inside sources tell me. Here's this little 10-minute sit-down I had with Gus Malzahn or, you know, whoever. And that's great. That is fantastic. And you and I both listen to those kind of things, right? I mean, we love them. Those are great.
The news, yes. We need to know the news.
Absolutely. But I think what's different is most, and I don't mean all. I know there are others, and I don't mean to offend anybody. Most shows are people that try to be objective reporters. They're not. They don't go around saying War Eagle. And, you know, I love Brandon Marcello to death, but you'll notice every time he was ever on our show, and he lived in Auburn, and he lived and breathed Auburn all the time, but he would never say War Eagle. And I understood that. I 100% got it, because he's trying to be objective. But you and I say War Eagle every episode at the end, if not before, you know. That's the difference, is that we are actively rooting for Auburn. It's like, you know, people used to say, well, Jim Fife is the announcer for Auburn, but he just is up there a homer rooting for Auburn. Everybody's like, yeah, of course he is, right? Well, we're like the Jim Fife of podcasters, right? We're openly rooting for Auburn. We love Auburn, and we have nothing good to say about just about any other team, because why would we? We're not here to be objective. We're here to celebrate and enjoy Auburn and occasionally revel in the misery of Alabama when they have misery. And that's kind of our thing, right?
Yes. It doesn't mean that we can't be objective about Auburn.
Right, right.
And we try hard to do that.
John, our biggest rants are when one of us kind of gets put out about what other Auburn people are saying. You know, that I think more than anything else over the years, what has certainly set me off, you speak for yourself, but certainly what has set me off is when Auburn fans will come up with some wild thing that just, I'm like, what are they talking about? And we will try to go through and analytically, and I think that's one thing that people appreciate that we do. We love Auburn more than it is possible to love Auburn, and yet we can be analytical and objective and honest, right? I think, when we need to be. Right? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, like, we root for Auburn. We support Auburn, but we're not blind. You know, and so when Auburn people say something that's too critical, we get on them. And when they say something that's too pie in the sky, we get on them. I think we try to hold a level of realism along with our hope and rootingness.
Yes, I think that's fair. I try to look outside of, you know, Auburn and to look at advanced statistics and other things to bring some objectivity to what we're seeing with our eyes and what we're talking about that we saw in the games. But I think we're good at one of the things, because we've been fans for a long time, I think we both have a big picture, long-term view.
Yes, that helps.
We're not caught up in the whatever happened in the last 5 minutes and how that's the most important thing in the history of civilization.
That's right. That's absolutely right. As far as you and I go, I think that the listeners would pretty well agree or probably notice pretty soon, if not before. You tell me if I'm wrong. I would describe it as you tend to take a more analytical approach. You like statistics. You like looking at film and kind of working through things logically and all. And I tend to take, in some cases, a more entertainment approach and try to find wacky things and all. But we both can kind of meet in the middle, I think, which helps, right? We're not talking past each other.
Very much.
Yeah. I think that's part of what has made, and again, it's just kind of this. It's kind of, you know, we're on the inside here looking, so it's hard to be objective about ourselves. But I've always felt like, and I think my wife has noted this before too, she's always said that you and I work together well because, you know, we each kind of come from different places in how we see things, but we're able to kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think that works.
it does work for us. And I think we one of the things you can expect in the show is there's times when whatever the topic is, you know, with something related to Auburn football, that we're both going to be individually or collectively driven to rant about it.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen every episode. It doesn't happen every 5 episodes. But sometimes there's going to be things, especially during the season, there's going to be things that make us want to fuss.
And we do. And people enjoy that, I think.
Yeah. But it's because we're fans and we care. So we're, you know, we say what we believe about that.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to sugarcoat it.
I'm going to say this, too. And I've never said this before on the show. The other stuff that we've said, we've had bits and pieces of this here and there. But while I'm thinking about it, I will say this, John. And I think our longtime listeners will know exactly what I mean. I think they've gotten this. They've sensed this, even if we've never said it. Because I don't think we've ever said it. Because we don't usually get this personal, right? This is kind of the moment if we're ever going to do it. So let's just do it. I've never gotten the least bit angry at you, either on our show or any other way in life. And it's mainly because I know you and I've known you so long that any time you and I even disagree about anything, I still know that you're 100% coming from a place that I respect and understand. So even if we have like a surface disagreement, it's never anything because I never have to think, well, what's he up to? Does he have some secret agenda? What's he trying to do here? I have never for one second thought that about you because I know you and I know that anything we have a disagreement about, we'll figure it out, right? We'll figure it out.
100% correct. And I know because Van and I come from the same point that we respect each other and we're friends and we're going to be friends after we stop doing the podcast.
Someday.
Yeah, that's right. But also, like, we're both coming at it from the place that we love Auburn and we want Auburn to be successful. We may not agree about everything all the time, but that's part of what makes the show good.
Sure, absolutely. And we respect that we're totally free to do that. And what I like, too, is that usually when we're trying to, like, reconcile our disagreements, we usually kind of end up meeting in the middle and going, okay, that's cool. We just move on, right? So, yeah, we never take it personally. It never goes that far, right? Let's see, what else? The soundboard.
Were there all these sound effects at the beginning of the show, Ben?
Well, okay, what it really gets back to is how I came to be doing audio stuff is that for many years before there was really podcasting, when I lived in Atlanta and I was working in the hospital and teaching part-time and all that, I would listen to Atlanta sports radio because that was all we really had. I didn't want to listen to music or anything when I was at work. I could listen to radio. I would listen to usually 790 The Zone. I found those guys funnier and more entertaining. The other stations were more like just kind of Georgia guys and whatever, and I didn't care about that. But these guys were from all over the country, and they were entertaining and funny. And I kind of picked up on how they did things and what they did and how they were funny. And Mike Bell, the guy on 790 he had a bunch of sound clips on his soundboard. It was like a manual thing, I guess it was like a Casio keyboard thing he could carry around that he had them programmed into. And so I have a virtual one, and I always thought that was the neatest thing, that he had all these instant sound clips on there that he could play. And I'm like, I've got to be able to do that. And so I found all these, you know, all these various, you know, when they relate to somebody like, you know, like, well, this, the classic one is
smoke weed every day.
That's just evergreen. It never gets old. But then there's, you know, the ones that are very specific, like
blame yourself
and
please clap,
that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we got quite a few of them. Some are more elaborate, like.
And March Madness, let's shock the world.
You know, and others are just like, if we want to talk about whenever Alabama football comes up, I have to immediately say. Russia, number one. Iran, number one. Bama, number one. There you go. And
so
of course,
for the uncultured out there, that's a wrestling reference.
That is. Yeah, that's the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. And I just figure Bama fans fit right into that rogues gallery. I've never explained it before. I always just assumed it was, as Jefferson said, self-evident, you know, that I'm saying there's a rogues gallery, Nikolai Volkov, Iron Sheik, and any Bama fan.
I guess I'm sorry I explained the joke.
No, it's fine. I just you made me realize that I've never explained it, and so I guess I always just figured that that, you know, sometimes we do the most interesting coach in the world. And sometimes we do Coach Snyder from Kansas State. But we haven't done either one of them in a while. And that's something I kind of want to ask our listeners, if there's anybody left that's still listening at this point. Do you miss the most interesting coach in the world or Coach Snyder? And do we need to bring them back? Because I haven't done much of that lately.
Well, and I wanted to say one thing about the soundboard is sometimes more is less with the soundboard.
Well, that's the other part. That's the other part of it.
No, I'm not. I wasn't making a bit with that. Like, literally, we could go whole episodes where you don't use it. And then there could be other episodes where it just, where you pull it out of the air at the right moment and it just totally makes it.
Yeah. So. Well, that's the thing I was going to say is that the first element of the soundboard is that it exists, that I was inspired by Mike Bell and the radio and all that. And that's kind of why I got into podcasting, is I wanted to be able to do radio type stuff that I enjoyed listening to. And I felt like I could do it, and I feel like I can, and you do too. And but the second element of the soundboard that really makes it is your reactions, because you always have such great reactions to it, and our listeners all know, and they just love it, right? I don't think there's a single other thing that we've gotten more comments on over the years than, oh, when Van plays the soundboard and John goes bananas, right? Everybody loves that, and so I think it's funny. So, I try to not overdo it. But it's hard, man, because all these brightly colored buttons are right here in front of me, and I know what each one of them does. But I try, and some of them are very specific, right? I mean, you need for Christian Tut to make a really big play for me to have to go.
Now, when he was a young man.
Right, so that's very specific. You know, there have been some players that have left. It's like I don't get to play the Jaws theme anymore for Nick Marshall, which is kind of sad. I don't get to play the helicopter sound anymore for our receiver that you said fell out of a helicopter or whatever. But there's just some that are just always, you know, always good and always will be. So, and I have to always tip my hat to Herman Cain for two of our better, more fun ones. Of course, Rod Bramblett too, and Reynolds, and there's just so many on there. But that's the soundboard, and we do have a thing called the Soundboard Fan Club, where if you enjoy the soundboard and want to show off your fandom for it, you can go to auwishbone.com, and there's a link to our T-shirt and sweatshirt and hoodie shop where you can get a AU Wishbone shirt that actually says Soundboard Fan Club. My mother-in-law came by a couple of months ago, back before the pandemic, and she had on a Soundboard Fan Club sweatshirt, and I'm like, yes! Yes, that's so awesome! So, let's see. What other things, then, before we wrap up here, do we need to explain?
The frequency, normally we do the show weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we record them, normally we record on Monday nights. We record on Tuesday night this episode, but this is an evergreen kind of episode, so this doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
During the season, we like to record on Monday night because we've had time to kind of digest and recover from the emotion of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But still able to kind of really bring the emotion to the podcast. And they'll kind of at the end look ahead to the next week's game.
I'll tell you right now, Gus has given me some moments over the last few years where if we had done a Sunday show, it would have been very different from the Monday show that we did. You know what I mean? Like Sunday evening rolls around and I'm like, son of a and then by Monday I'm like, John, let's break this game down.
You're still unhappy. You're still gonna rant about it, but I think it makes for a better show with less time to cool off and have a little distance.
A little perspective. Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree. Because we're emotional about it. We love it and get all wrought up. And you know, we just need to calm down a little bit. We did them on Sunday nights for a while, but we moved it to Monday. And I think that was a good move. It came up on Tuesday morning. And it's usually earlier than some podcasts, but later than kind of those instant reaction ones that come up like Sunday. And so it seemed to work out for us. I do feel like we've done more episodes the last year or two because we've got, you know, as you just heard, we've got more patrons than we used to have. And I really just want to make sure that they're getting their money's worth, because people are giving us their money to do this. I want to make sure that they're getting something for it. I'm not going to just sit back and not do a show if I can avoid it. And another thing, though, is that we always try to do our shows together. There have been a few, you know, occasions here and there if I was sick or if John was away or something, where we've kind of done a little, but it wasn't a whole show. It's kind of like a little bridge thing, you know. Yeah. And but so usually we don't do them unless we can do them together. I just have always felt strongly that like this show is you and me, and I don't want to do it without you, and I don't, and you don't usually want to do it without me, and plus I kind of record it anyway, so you'd have a hard time doing it without me anyway. So, let's see, and we don't have sponsors, we don't have ads, so become a patron and keep that going. And in fact, the patrons basically bought us a new computer here about a little bit less than a year ago because we were having – it's one of those things where I value what they do for us, and I don't like to use it unless I'm 100% sure it needs to be done. And I'm like, man, the computer I was using was only like 3 or 4 years old, maybe 5 years old. Time flies. But it was just shorting out, and it was causing my voice to sound bad. John sounded good, so I knew it was this computer. And it was sure enough, the USB outlets were shorting out and the motherboard was going bad. And I said, you know what? The patrons have bestowed this on us to the show, so the show will be good. And the show is not good when the computer's not working right. So I went and got a good computer that can do audio and stuff. And that's what we're using now. And that's thanks to the patrons. And I think that they're all pleased with that. I don't think they would complain because that's what it's for.
No, and I appreciate one of the things I appreciate about you, Van, is that you care about the audio quality of the show.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly trying to make it better, and it's always been a challenge for us. Our longtime listeners know we've fought that from the beginning. We've had gremlins, you know, but in fact, the soundboard died earlier this week, and I got it working 5 minutes before we went on the air tonight. It was like the last thing I could check, and that was it.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thrilled. The only thing you had here that we hadn't really talked about was how you and I met. And I guess we kind of said we were in college together. We were taking political science classes together. And I guess Model UN, right?
Yeah. We were in a lot of political science classes together. And then we were in the Model UN program at Auburn together.
And then we ended up running it together.
Spent a bunch of time together. That's it. We did.
Yeah. John was the secretary general. I was the director our last year of kind of doing it there. And we got to run this great big conference in the in Foy Union. That was kind of cool to go, you know, be students, and all of a sudden we were like in charge of Foy Union for a weekend. That was pretty cool. And yeah, we went on and did some away trips together with the gang, the Auburn Model UN people. We went down to South Alabama and hoot and hollered down there, and it just kind of got to be good buddies through all that. So that was always cool. I don't know how you put up with me all those years, but you did.
Stop.
I really don't. But yeah. Anything left that we want to throw in here at the very end? I think they're getting a good idea.
The other thing I would say is that, you know, we're both on Twitter and we have an email address for the show. It's aewishbone@gmail.com. So if you have thoughts or feedback about this episode or any episode, or there's questions you want us to answer, then if you email them, we will answer them.
Yeah, normally we do a segment about two-thirds of the way through the show of listener questions introduced by my little list one, Mira. And we are happy to answer questions from anybody except Jared. No. We just had a mix-up. But no, and Jared, by the way, that's the other thing we didn't mention is that we have a number of people that come on occasionally, but Jared kind of contributes these really great audio segments, especially during the season where Pat and the Eagle have things going on, and he's done some really cool audio segments for us over the years too. So we really value Jared, and Auburn Elvis has been our producer on our location stuff a couple of times. We really value his contributions. We've just had a number of people that have been really good. Well, I guess you'd say friends of the pod, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, they come in and help us to make the show even better in different ways, and that's awesome. So we appreciate all you guys too. Like I said, Brandon Marcello, every year there for a while, would come on and talk Auburn and superheroes with us. And we've had a few other people on quite a few times, you know. And of course, Reynolds Wolf is of the Weather Channel, is a friend of the show, and he did the voiceover for We Believed and that kind of thing. So, we appreciate all of you, and we appreciate all of our patrons. We appreciate all of our listeners. You've just been listening all this time. And new ones. So, okay, well, I guess that'll do it. If you were listening and there is something you're wanting to know about the show that we didn't cover, then just like John said, send us an email at auwishbone@gmail.com, or if you're on Twitter, you can just tweet at auwishbone or at J.K. Ringer. And you can tweet me too if you want to. But John kind of is in charge of compiling all of our questions and messages together so we can look at them on the show. So that's why we usually direct people to him. It's kind of like I do the engineering. John kind of handles the correspondence, and it's a nice division of labor. So, okay, I guess that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Okay, so when we return our next episode, hopefully we will have. We're coming up on the barbecue show in 2 weeks, aren't we?
That's right. So what should fans who have never listened to that before expect from the barbecue show?
Two things. We will eat barbecue on the air, and it will help us predict the outcome of Auburn's football game, tackle football on the field. And we've done it every year, and it's like our biggest show every year. It's a big deal. And
mysticism.
Yes, it is. It's magical. So tune in a couple of weeks for that. I will have something next week, I'm sure, just kind of like what's going on with practice and all, just a short show. And then in 2 weeks, we'll have our biggest show of the year, the barbecue special. All right, John, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.